It has become our tradition when we gather for multi-generational worship to use the children's chalice lighting together. So if you know this, please join with me. We light this chalice because we're Unitarian Universalists. This is the Church of the Open Mind. This is the Church of the Helping Hands. This is the Church of the Loving Heart.
Life is full of transitions. Birth begins our journey. For the next few years, each day is filled with awe and wonder. Childhood begins with our first days of school, new friends, new experiences, and a new community. Adolescence is a time for increasing independence and responsibility. High school, dating, driving, dances, and prom. Young adulthood is for many the scariest and most exhilarating period of life. High school graduation, moving away from home, college, work, or military service, the first job, voting. Adulthood is when we are to be grown up and responsible. Partnerships and families are created. Jobs change and first homes are established. Elders are highly respected in many cultures for their wisdom. Sometimes forgotten in ours, retirement, health issues, downsizing, and reaping the rewards from a life well spent. Death, for some, the end of the journey, for others, the beginning of the next phase of life. All the stages of life have a common theme, a continual journey of faith exploration, big questions asked and sometimes answered, and deepening spirituality. For this we have gathered. Come, let us worship together.
To prepare us to enter into a time of silence and meditation, wisdom words from the 13th century Catholic theologian Meister Eckhart. What does light talk about? When you recognize her beauty, the eye applauds. The heart stands in an ovation. And the tongue, when she is near, is on its best behavior. It speaks more like light. What does light talk about? I asked a plant once. It said, I'm not sure, but it makes me grow. We'll keep silence for a few moments together.
Please join me in a spirit of prayer as I lead us on a guided meditation. And we'll travel in time back to our own infancies and ahead to our own futures. So put down anything that you may be holding in your hands. Find a comfortable spot in your seat. Take a few deep breaths. Lower or close your eyes and just relax. Think of yourself back in time, all the way back to the time when you were an infant, a baby who relies on his or her parents or caregivers to meet every need. Your spirituality is shaped by the security that comes from being nurtured, from the warm touch of those that care for you, and it blossoms into trust and love. And now you are a toddler. Your spirituality is shaped by knowing that you are at the center of your being and that you have your own worth. You are learning about this wonderful thing called life, and you delight in discovering how everything is connected. And now you are in preschool. Your imagination takes you to wondrous places and times and scenarios. Your spirituality is shaped by your curiosity. Who made the world? Where did I come from? Why is the sky blue? And now you are school-aged. Your spirituality is shaped by your desire to be logical. You are looking for the right answers as you sort out the real from the fantastic. You want to belong and you enjoy the symbols and stories of your faith tradition. Fairness and justice are important to you. And now you are a young teen. Your spirituality is shaped by your growing ability to make decisions. You can think about things in a way that isn't logical. You can understand paradox and are drawn to mystery. You relish in critical thinking and see it as a spiritual practice. You have doubts. You value your friendships and use them to shape your own framework of beliefs. And now you are an older teen. Your spirituality is shaped by the knowledge that having beliefs and values isn't enough. They must be accompanied with action. As you seek to make the world a better place, you take pleasure in dissecting moral and ethical dilemmas. And now you are a young adult. Your spirituality is shaped by your need to live a meaningful life. You take a close look at what you have believed in the past and used what you learned from that examination to shape your life. And now you are a mature adult. Your spirituality is shaped by your knowing that even though life has limits, you are still becoming. You are comfortable dwelling in the mystery and know that there is a piece of truth everywhere. So now take a few more deep breaths, and when you are ready, return to the age you are now, to the place you are upon your spiritual path, and to this sanctuary. Gently open your eyes and be here now, knowing that we are spiritually wise at every age and stage of our life.
I love it when we have multi-generational services. We try to do this at least every 6 weeks so that we can all be together as a worshiping community. And I especially love it because it gives me an opportunity to engage with the children of our community, and I don't get as many chances to do that as I would like because your classes happen at the same time as our services. So I have a question just for the children here today. Karen told us a story about a child who felt connected to everything. And I wonder if any of you have ever had an experience of feeling connected to something outside of yourself, something bigger than yourself. So let me ask the children, raise your hand if you've ever had that experience of feeling connected to something bigger than yourself, like the sky or the ocean or the moon or the stars or anything like that. So lots of you. Okay, so would any of you be comfortable telling us what that was like? All right, that's okay. Let me ask adults. Have adults ever had that experience? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, would any of the adults be willing to tell us what that was like? Jill would.
I think there's many experiences, but I think the one that stands out in my mind right now is when we were at Glacier National Park, and there were just some, you know, really wonderful spots like St. Mary's, looking over the lake and the mountain. I guess lakes and mountains will do it to you. And not only did I feel it, but people that were also there in that presence, it was like we were all awestruck.
Thank you. Anybody else?
A couple of years ago, I was in West Virginia with a group, and we went up on a top of a mountain at night, and there was a moon bow in the mist as we came down, and we all kind of felt the presence and a connection.
Were you raising your hand, Evian? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Saunas.
The times that I've been, that I've felt connected to something larger than myself has been sort of the community, like all people, and it has, for me, typically happened when I've been involved in making music with people together, and we have lifted our voices in harmony, and the electric connection that's created just makes me feel like I'm part of all humanity. I'm part of all people in that time.
Thank you. Now that we've heard from a few adults, we're going to hear from Saul, and then I want to ask one more time. Saul, you still count as an adult.
This morning when Spencer started singing and then everyone got up to join him, I felt connected to everybody in this room.
Lovely. So what I was going to say before I saw your hand was, is now that we've heard from a few adults, is there a child who might be willing to tell us about their experience? Okay, thank you.
I don't know if I count as a child, but at SI, we have the youth Vespers, and those are
really deep. And we had one a few years ago where it was stargazing. And I don't know, I just kind of felt whole, like it was, I meant something. And it was just awesome.
Thanks, Joey. So all of those experiences you've shared, those experiences are a part of your spirituality. When I say that word spirituality, I'm talking about the deepest feelings that we have, the deepest feelings of connection to ourselves, to other people, to the universe, to God. And spirituality also has to do with the choices that we make about how we're going to live our lives. Religion is different from spirituality. Religion is the tradition that we choose to help us develop our spirituality and to consider and reflect upon our choices. Rabbi Sandy Eisenberg Sasso shares this way of thinking with me. She says that religion, at its very best, anchors our spiritual experiences and provides us with a lens through which we can view and also with a language that we can use to speak. Rabbi Sasso says that children are born with a sense of spirituality, and she says that that's true whether or not their families participate in any kind of religious community. However, she also says that just like our bodies need exercise or they will grow weak, she says that our spirituality needs nurturing or it will grow weak. It's the job of adults to help children nurture their spirituality. Jean Harrison Nuyar is a Unitarian Universalist minister and also a religious educator. And she says the same thing. And she tells a story about our Transcendentalist ancestors. Transcendentalists were Unitarians in the 1800s, many, many years ago. And they used to say that babies were closer to God because they had just come from God. They thought young children had a kind of spiritual wisdom that was especially pure. People who study spirituality in children today tell us that most kids do, in fact, have spiritual insights and ideas at a very young age. So let me ask another question. This one for the children and youth. How many of you have ideas about who or what God is? Raise your hand if you have an idea about who or what God is. A few of you. Rabbi Sasso says that most kids have ideas about God by the time that they're 5 years old, even if they've never received any kind of formal religious education. However, she also says that those ideas, if they're not expressed and explored and developed, they can also kind of fade away as we get older. She tells a story about her own daughter who went to a summer camp, and the camp counselors told the children that it was time to draw a picture of God. This was their activity. So they passed out the paper and the crayons, and they told everyone to draw a picture. And the rabbi's daughter, from her own religious education in her synagogue, decided that God was too big to be captured in a picture. So she turned in a blank piece of paper. And the camp counselor said, "No, you have to draw something." And so she explained why she had turned in a blank piece of paper, and they said, go back and try again. There's got to be something you can draw, some image that represents God. And so she went back, and she drew a picture of an old man. When she got home, she showed that picture to her mom and explained what had happened. And she said to her mom, "Don't worry, Mom. I know that God's not really an old man, but I had to draw something." So her mom, the rabbi, started thinking about it. And she realized that the reason that her daughter had drawn a picture of an old man was because she needed an image of God, and that is the first one that came to mind. And she realized that that was demonstrating a kind of failure in her own religious education of her daughter, that her daughter did not have more God images to draw on. And she also realized that the place her daughter had got that image of God as an old man was from movies and television and from the internet. And so part of what she tells us is if adults do not take advantage of the opportunities to give our children images of God or to participate in their religious education in some kind of way, they're going to get it anyway. It's just going to be from someplace else. So that's a challenge for us adults, is to think about who is going to be the one responsible for providing a religious education to the children in our lives. Now, this isn't to say that adults have all the answers. Just like kids, it's growing and changing, and if we're paying attention to it, our spirituality will be growing and changing too. That means that we can all be teachers and learners together. Adults may have more experience and education to share, but kids have observations, insights, and experiences that can be important to adults too. That's why the famous psychiatrist Dr. Coles teaches Sunday school in his own church. He says that he wants to have an opportunity to learn what kids can teach him about God. Dr. Coles spent his life writing about the political, social, and spiritual lives of children. And he tells a story about how he started doing this work. This is a really powerful story because this isn't the direction that he intended to go with his life. He trained to be a psychiatrist, and after he graduated from medical school, he was drafted into the Air Force. So he was sent down to Mississippi, where he served 2 years on an Air Force base. And he planned, after he finished in his service in the Air Force, to continue with his psychiatric career. Well, one day while he was down there, he needed to go to a class that was happening in New Orleans, and so he drove from Mississippi to New Orleans, and as he got close, he got caught in a traffic jam. So he got out of his car, and he walked over to the police officer who was standing there, and he said, "What's going on?" And the police officer said, "Well, there's a child over there trying to get into this school, and it's causing a lot of people are really upset." He said, "Why are people upset that a child's trying to get into a school?" Well, it turns out that the child was a black child, and she was trying to get into a school that had been reserved for white children. This was the very first day this was going to happen. So Dr. Coles, knowing that his car wasn't going anywhere anytime soon, walked over to the school, and he saw this great sea of adults, white adults, who were yelling, even though the little girl who was expected hadn't even arrived yet. When she arrived, she had to be escorted by police, federal marshals, into her school. Her name was Ruby Bridges, an African-American 6-year-old who was entering the first grade on a court order that her school be integrated. So Dr. Coles watched this happen, watched the adults yelling at her, and he started thinking. His wife actually planted this idea in his head. His wife said, "You know, what would it be like if you could interview Ruby Bridges and find out what that experience was like for her?" So he started checking around, and he finally figured out how to make an appointment with her and her family and with another little girl who had also integrated a school that day. So he sat down with them, and he said to Ruby Bridges, "I would like to know how you felt when you walked past all those people yelling at you and what that experience was like for you." And Ruby thought for a minute, and she said, "Well, I prayed for them." Now, Dr. Coles didn't really believe that because she's 6 years old and she had all of these people yelling at her as she tried to walk into the school. And he thought, "Well, you know, I'm a psychiatrist. I know how she was feeling. She was feeling stressed. She was feeling anxious. She was feeling frightened." And so he asked her again. But he asked her this time the same question, but with a clear doubt in his mind. And he said, "Really, that's it? You prayed for them?" And her response to him was, "Well, Dr. Coles, don't you think they needed praying for?" She went on to tell him that she had learned in her own church about Jesus and that a lot of people didn't like Jesus and yelled at him and that he wasn't very popular and that Jesus stood up for what he believed anyway, and isn't that what she should be doing too? So Dr. Coles was really, really taken by this experience, and he decided to spend his career listening to children about what it was like. That was what his first book was about, what it was like for children to find their way through conflict and stress. And he went all around the world interviewing children about that. And then he went on later to write lots of books about the ways in which kids experience the world, including their spiritual lives. I tell you that story today because yesterday was the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, which was the famous march that I'm sure you've all heard about, where Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech, and he talked about the day that he dreamed of when everybody would be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. We've made so much progress in 50 years, and I want to lift up that progress came not only because of adults, Many, many children and many youth participated in helping make that progress happen. It wasn't just Ruby Bridges, though she certainly is a hero. All across this country, children integrated schools, and that was a risky thing to do. But they did it, and they helped change this nation, and we're all better off because of it. So, I know that all of the children are about to head back to school if you haven't already. And I want you to know that as you go back to school, you can bring your spirituality with you. Spirituality isn't something that we reserve only for our time in church. Spirituality is something that we live every day. Spirituality has to do with our sense of connection and with our choices about what's right and what's wrong. And so as you go back to school, I want you to know that it's okay for you to let your spirituality show. Church is the time that we set aside to talk about our spirituality, to think about it together, to explore our spirituality, to grow our spirituality. But every day is where we live, at home and at school, at work, with our friends and family. We show what it means to be connected to something beyond ourselves, and we demonstrate our understanding of what is right and what is wrong in every choice that we make. We don't just have minds, we don't just have bodies, we also have spirits. So let us tend that wholeness and live that wholeness so that we may together be whole. Amen, and blessed be.
Throughout every stage of our lives, we find new things about ourselves, including new interests and talents. For example, these past couple of years, I've developed a real passion for cooking and baking. During the school year, I could bake all sorts of goodies without keeping them in the house because I knew that by the end of third period, they would be gone. But during the summer, I had a dwindling list of reasons to bake. There wouldn't be a crowd of hungry teenagers to eat anything without hesitation, and no time due to summer classes, vacations, and the ever-growing list of TV shows that must be watched. But last year, I decided to turn off the TV, call up a couple of friends, and hold a bake sale for our church. Truthfully, going into this, we had no clue what would happen. Questions started to arise, such as, where should we hold it? How will we get the necessary supplies? Will anybody actually want to come? So we split up the work, and within a day, we were able to confirm place, time, and source of sharing it with the public. Good old trusty Facebook. We invited everyone we could possibly think of and started to bake. That Saturday, we sat out in front of Woodsy's for 8 hours and were surprised by how many people came. In the end, we raised about $130, even with the farmer's market being held on the same day. To me, this proves that it only takes a couple of people with a crazy idea to help the community. If three people were able to do that, imagine what all of us could do together. Young or older, man or woman, we all have different talents and gifts to share with the world. And I hope that all of you will find a way to share what you can to support those around you, because in the end, it takes all of us to keep this community moving in a forward motion. The offering will now gratefully be received.
Walking through life is just not that easy. Trouble and sorrow come in with no reason. Same old in a world that's been broken. Don't you need a song? Don't you need a welcome, welcome? In this moment of grace, come in, you're welcome. In the peace of this place, we say welcome. In the darkness and the light, we share a welcome. Through the morning and the night, these doors are open. Welcome, welcome. We come newborn with opening hearts. We are one love, and love never stops. We share one moon, one breath and one moment. With thrown open arms, we welcome. Somehow all things will fall into beauty. Somehow the light comes and shines right through you and me. Almighty love has its own unfolding. Just hold on to the ones you love and sing an never-ending welcome, welcome. Beyond politics and faith, come in your welcome. Beyond the walls of fear and shame, we say welcome. From the mountains through valleys and oceans, we call out an unbounded welcome, welcome. We come newborn with opening hearts. We are one love, and love never stops. We share one moon, one breath and one moment. With thrown open arms, we welcome. Water,
source of life, in you we took our shape. Water, source of life, by you we are sustained. Earth, ground of being, from dust we have come. Earth, ground of all, to dust we shall return. The time has come for us to share the waters and the soils that we have gathered this summer from the places that have inspired us. We asked you to bring a little bit of water and earth to mingle in our common bowls, but if you didn't, rest assured you can still participate because we have a pitcher of water here and a little bowl of earth that you can use as symbols of that which you would have brought if you had known or perhaps remembered to bring that with you today. The word spirit and spirituality can be traced back to Latin and Hebrew words, which mean breath. So we can say that the breath of life is the spirit of life. Likewise, the word inspire can be traced back to a Latin word, which means to blow into or to fill. So we might say that inspiration is being filled up with the spirit of life. And so as you come forward to pour water and earth into our common bowls, I'd like you first to know that the water that I have poured was the water that we gathered last year, the soil that we gathered last year at this ceremony. And over the course of this past year, we have used it to bless babies and children and the dedications that we have had in our sanctuary. And we'll do that again this year with the water and the soil that we collect today. So in a moment, we're going to invite you to come forward and to share with us in just 3 to 6 words something about how you were inspired this summer. And that can be hard to do. It can be hard to speak with an economy of words, I know. So you might need to give it a moment of thought. 3 to 6 words. Karen and Sophie and I will begin, and I'll demonstrate with this so you need not feel shy. Expansive lake filled me.
Glen Arbor holds new family fun.
Inspired at the music, with the music at Chautauqua.
So now if you'd like to participate, I invite you to come around the outside and make a line over here. And as you come through, then you come over here and use the microphone to speak.
Inspired musically at Summer Institute.
At Goldmine Leadership School in New York.
At On the Meet of the Mist at Niagara Falls.
This is dirt that was in my scooter bag.
The ocean crashing on the shore in Maine.
Sacred singing in the circle with Saunas, S.I.
Granddaughter's first train ride.
The Rite of Spring at Blossom.
The Coastal Florists of Maine.
Crazy Horse Mountain. Powerful. Wow.
Family integration in Rhode Island.
Metaphorical leaps of trust.
Our garden sustains us. Swimming with friends.
Geneva on the Lake and Summer Institute.
Earth, water, and our spirit as one.
Frigid water, granite, refreshed at Yosemite.
Throwing stones into Lake Erie with a toddler.
Studying the history of dance music through history.
Riding waves with family at the Outer Banks.
Seeing the ocean for the first time.
Growing family memories.
Ocean Beach Family, Rhode Island.
Inspired by those I love.
Seeds bursting despite hard ground.
Returning home to the black sands of Hawaii.
Inspired by the beauty of Hawaii.
Beneath the swings of my kids.
Sacred song circle, singing at SI and here.
Desert sand, sun, rain with loved ones.
El Mapais, the Badlands, New Mexico.
Sand run, Big Bend.
Stalking a bass in Lake Ticonderoga.
The silence in the caves at Mammoth Cave, Kentucky.
Traveling to England.
As the water and the earth of our lives mingle now, we lift our hearts in thanks for the gifts we have been given. We have been inspired. May the gift continue to move as we share our inspiration with others. In this way, we are part of the great spirit of life that sustains us all. May it be so, and amen.
We send you with these words from Lauren Bellamy. Dare we look into another's eyes and discover they're a friend? Dare we lower our masks and confess our humanity is flawed and still profess compassion for one another?
In whose spirit do we congregate, or why do we bother to struggle and to celebrate our common lives?
Perhaps it's in recognition of this truth that we sustain. No matter who or where or why we are on our journey, we all need a friend along the way. Go in peace.